flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are taking your calls at 301-230-0980. That is where you get in on a Misery Monday, the Misery Monday where the Commanders season is over. So your thoughts on the game, on the season, we're just kind of letting it flow here. We'll do a lot more of that tomorrow as well on a Vibe Check Tuesday. We'll start to make sense of the game a little bit more in some detail, too. We'll probably push our pick six until tomorrow. We got plenty of time, obviously, this week to go back on everything. And then we'll eventually look ahead to the Super Bowl, a Super Bowl that nobody in America wanted. They wanted either the Commanders or the Bills, if not both. And they got neither because that's the way it goes, apparently. But we'll look forward to it because the football side of it, even though the two teams are endlessly dislikable. The football side of it is actually going to be a lot of fun. So we'll talk about that. The coaching carousel continues to turn. The NBA trade deadline is coming up very quickly next week. So we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about over the next few weeks here on the Team 980. Nevertheless, the Commanders offseason. But we're talking about the Commanders now and try to put a bow on the season at 301-230-0980. Let's go to our guy, Ford. Ford, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Craig and Ian, how are you?
I'm good, Ford.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to kind of take your perspective on the 30-year-olds, right, and the 20, 30, and early 40-year-olds. Coming from a guy who lived through Gibbs 1.0 and went to 4 NFC Championship games, get ready, man. It's going to be a great 10-plus years, and it's going to be a change. We're in the midst of a change, and what I mean is, it's gone from a, you know, season of from August to December to January through December, right? It's becoming a year-round thing. It's begun becoming a part of our lives. And you'll see what I mean when I call in next year at this time and say, hey, you see what I mean? Because the example is going to be like you're going to start circling the date the free agency starts. You're going to start planning scheduled release parties. You're going to start saying, hey, honey, no, we can't go to Key West that weekend in October because the Skins are playing the Chiefs or the Commanders are playing the Chiefs. I just wanted to let all the youngins, if you will, yourself included, know that embrace this change. It's upon us now, but it's going to become more of a year-round, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year thing instead of like, oh, they drafted who? Oh, they're playing? Forget it, you know? You're going to start planning. I don't want to say planning your life around it, but in a way, it's going to start changing our lives, your lives, in a very special way. So I just wanted to share some perspective from an old guy that lived through one glory decade, hopefully getting ready to live through another one, man.
Yeah,
I'll hang up now and listen.
Yeah, Ford, thanks for the call. And I think for a lot of people, they're going to get what you're saying. I mean, for me, it's a little different because, well, yeah, I'm a month shy of turning 35. Like, my life has revolved around this team and the football schedule for 10 years because that's life in sports radio in D.C. And especially when I was on the beat, like during the season, even now during the season, like my life is extremely limited. You know, I happened to be in South Carolina last week and, you know, I was like, you know, if they win against Tampa, then I'm just going to have to do shows from down there. So I'm visiting my family because now as someone who's married, like I got two schedules I'm balancing and my wife was between jobs and that was the week she could go. And we've been trying to get down to see my family. And it was like, you want to know what? I'm just going to have to do it. And we're going to have to make some accommodations. And so I did two shows from our stations down at Odyssey in Greenville, South Carolina, and then did the post-game reaction show of my life after that divisional game against the Lions from the guest, my dad's office, or what used to be, because he retired in December, but thank God he still had a desk. Like, that is what my life has been because this is my job. And for a lot of you that are diehards, this is also your life because schedule release date means, oh, now I get to plan my trips for the year because I go to a couple of games and I've been going the whole time or whatever. But what I think is going to happen truly is, to Ford's point, and why I appreciate him saying it, is there's going to be a lot more people joining you/us. There's going to be a lot more people who are interested in the draft coverage. Where it's like, well, I don't have to learn the players when I start tuning in September and then I tune out in October and I don't care again. I want to get involved now because it seems like, well, this last draft, there was this quarterback they took, and I wish I would have known about him sooner. And so the offseason is going to be a lot of fun because I think there's going to be a lot more interest in it in a way that happens when you're good because everything matters. And I think that's the other thing about yesterday and about this season that you learn when you win is the details are so important. And you hear about it on winning teams, but it's a different thing to see it. And especially when you watch a team week in, week out versus just kind of watching the NFL writ large, you start to see consistency and patterns and why good teams are good and bad teams are bad. And it feels unlucky at times when you're a bad team, but when you see it happening for your team on a regular basis, the situational excellence and things like that, you're like, oh, maybe this isn't good luck. Like this is engineered. And so I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to talk to all you guys all off season. You know, a lot of draft talk, obviously, a lot of free agency talk. We will get you ready for it here on the Hoffman Show, and highly recommend that if you're not subscribed to the podcast, if you can't catch shows on the regular basis live, or you can't catch the full show live, to make sure you're checking out the podcast as well so you don't miss anything as we have all of those great discussions here on the radio. 301-230-0980. Let's go to JB from Brooklyn. Brooklyn's in the house. JB, what's up on a misery Monday?
Hey, Craig. I just wanted to revel in the season and thank you personally. I started to get back into Commanders after a very long and depressing hiatus. And I saw a random suggestion from the algorithm from you, and just to have someone that is smart and breaking down stuff. And while I've been a fan forever, you and Logan have been really, really great of explaining things and making this the lens of really making this season special. I want to revel in what a special season this is. I am one of those old guys that graduated high school when the Commanders last went to the Super Bowl. And I said to my friend, I was talking to a girl, and he said, why aren't you watching the fourth quarter? It was my best friend, still my best friend. And I said to him, oh, come on, we've seen them our whole childhood. They're going to be back in the Super Bowl. And 30 years of misery later, and just how special the last 6 weeks were. My dad, you mentioned your dad. My dad is in a nursing home in Kensington Park. Shout out to everyone in Kensington Park Nursing Home. And I was driving. I doesn't speak anymore. But I went down to see, right before Christmas, to see the Eagles game. And 9 hours worth of driving for a 3-hour game. And Jaden and the team, getting emotional, but Jaden and the team just like made my heart sing. My dad squeezed my hand. When my grandmother was going through dementia, the last thing she would sing was "Hail the Redskins." My dad used to in the 50s as a 10-year-old go down to Griffith Stadium by himself and go hold the football for people that kicked for the kickers before the game, and just to these. We had, you know, whatever, the 8 comebacks, the 8, like, incredibly special plays are connected to these just magical moments. I want to thank you for being part of that. And just to have a team that reflects my values, it's not someone that I hate. I think that we, you know, we got our coach, we got our front office, and we got our quarterback. I just saw when I was skeptical because people I really trust in football were shipping for May, and he walked out, and I saw everyone in the green room, the green room treated him. I knew this was special. It was a special guy, and I just want to thank you. And question for later is, what can we learn from the Chiefs? And what can we do to get rise ourselves up from, you know, I think, make sure we're not the Bills or the Ravens. And what can we, you know, it's a future question, but that's what I'm thinking about now. I'm not used to focusing on the football itself. Thank you for I appreciate you for letting me ramble.
Yeah, JB, I appreciate your call a lot, man. That's really, really cool. Thank you so much for sharing that story, and, you know, best to your family as well, as it sounds like it's been a tough couple weeks here and perhaps even longer, but glad you got that moment, and it means a lot for you to share with me that I've been a part of it and Logan's been a part of it. So thank you. We'll definitely, I think, Super Bowl week, tap into some lessons we can learn from the Chiefs and the Eagles. I wrote that one down. That's a good topic idea that we should definitely do. And I think we've done versions of that in the past, but it's a good reminder this time of year. And especially with Kansas City, like they're trying to do something unprecedented, 3 in a row, and they're doing it powered by a quarterback who is generational. And that looks to be what Washington has. And this is there's one point. I mean, there's so many just like touching things JB said, and you know, I think important things JB said about football and not football and everything. But the point that I want to pull out of that real quick, and then we got a couple more calls, and we'll continue taking your calls for the rest of the hour. Like, this is our show today, is just letting you talk about this season and what it's meant, and the game yesterday, and whatever anger, resentment, bitterness you might have about the way it ended. But whatever you got, like, we're an open book today at 301-230-0980. But hearing JB talk about how the team finally reflects his values, and it's not rooting for a team owned by someone you hate, I can't tell you how much that resonates. Of how many times I would go home to my wife and just be like, I cannot believe I have to talk about this stupid football team. And there's a lot worse jobs out there than talking about football, talking about sports. Like, Van Pelt used to say when he did his radio show, he'd be like, man, this is hard work, but I don't confuse it. I'm not out here laying bricks. It's not intense physical labor. It's intense mental labor, and that's not nothing. But it's, at the end of the day, talking about sports. And when you're spending your time like that, sometimes it can feel really empty, because it's like, should I be doing something more meaningful with my life? And I know that's pretty deep, but it is what it is. And I think when you get calls like that from JB, and then you hear what it means to people, and you realize that you have a chance doing this to help be the connective tissue of a community of people who care about the same thing, and a chance to talk about something that brings people together, people in a community, people within families, people within whatever, like, that's really cool. And that is rewarding and it makes it feel less empty. But so does just talking about people that deserve it. Like Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin and Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz and on down this roster. There's a bunch of guys who work hard and are good dudes. And at the top, like Josh Harris is still a billionaire. I'm sure I could find things that I don't love about Josh Harris. That's the nature of society. I'm sure I could find things I don't love about Adam Peters or Dan Quinn if I really tried. Like, we're not going to agree on everything. But at the end of the day, like, I think all of these men are good men. And I'm not looking to find those things. And if they show up, we'll talk about them. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I think in their souls, they're good people who want good things. And they espouse good things. They talk about the right things. They talk about having the values of good culture, good leadership, what it truly means to be a good man, what it truly means to be tough, what it truly means to be a leader. Not fake machismo garbage that a lot of NFL coaches have espoused for decades. And that matters a lot. That makes this, for me, as someone who talks about it and spends my livelihood, spends more time doing this than anything else in my life, makes it feel worth it. And I, for all the emotional energy that so many of you put into it as fans, I would imagine you feel in many ways the exact same way. 301-230-0980. More of your calls on the Hoffman Show next. But first, let's get the latest on the world in women's sports presented by Wawa. Chicken how you wanna at Wawa with customizable crispy or roasted chicken sandwiches.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. Final 35 minutes or so here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. You can give us a buzz at 301-230-0980. So we're just taking your calls all show long here, and we're going to keep it rolling with Billy in Miami. Billy, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig, can you hear me okay?
Yep, we got you.
Awesome. I wasn't going to call earlier. I told Anthony, but I was listening in, and I just was touched by your last call of JB.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that I had never called a radio station before until I heard you on the radio, and I'm just calling in to thank you. Yeah, you know, it's because of your honesty and the way you open up like you just did that I think all of us feel like we can relate to you. And I just wanted to thank you for being part of my life and all of our lives. You've done a great job. Thank you for including me in the fantasy football league this year, which I got crushed. And, you know, for being in Paris. And, you know, really, you and Anthony feel like friends, seriously. And so keep doing what you're doing. That's all I'm calling about.
Well, I appreciate that, Billy. Thank you. I really do. Obviously, that's kind of what you want in your favorite radio show. You know, I remember feeling that way about shows that I listened to growing up, where you feel like you know the hosts. And I think it's important to remember that y'all don't actually know me, that there is a creative distance. But I'm also a human being. So, like, if you want to come up and we're out and about and doing stuff, I don't say that to be off-putting. I just say that to, you know, don't be creepy. But if we're out and about, man, like, as long as it's in a commercial break, I love talking to people. I love, you know, come up, say hello. Yeah, let us know that you listen on the regular basis, that you're in on the jokes. Like, I love that stuff. It's why you do this. And I don't see myself as anything other than, like, I take this very seriously. It's my job. It's my vocation. And I try to do the job a certain way, how I was trained to do it at an actual journalism school. And that's a little different than some other folks who, I think there's space for all of us. I don't have a scarcity mindset about this this business and the way it gets done. But, you know, I appreciate calls like that. I'm not going to be self-indulgent. If you want to call in and try to get on the radio and tell me how awesome I am, I'm not going to take your call for the rest of the show at the very least. But there's always Vibe Check Tuesday tomorrow. And tomorrow's a new day. 301-230-0980. Let's get back to the football. Let's get back to the Commanders. Sean from Connecticut, thanks for holding. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig. I'm not a daily caller of this show. I'm a daily caller of the Rooster, but you guys do a great service for everyone.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Sean.
As a fan of this team who doesn't live in the area, it's really nice to have a way to connect to it. But regarding the game, it just felt like I'm 22 years old. I've been a diehard fan of this team my entire life, and not because of my dad the first football game I ever went to was a Redskins game. And so, unfortunately, I picked them over the Ravens when I was younger.
Dagger.
It just felt like the game yesterday went like the Washington football that I've grown accustomed to watching. Just shooting themselves in the foot, stupid, disappointing mistakes. Like, it just seems to me fumbling a kickoff return in the NFC Championship is just the most Washington football thing I could have ever imagined. And maybe that's not fair because Washington football usually doesn't even get close to that point. But it just to do that in that stage was just it. And with the quarterback we have, to not even give him – and, like, I'm not saying it wasn't – he didn't play bad. It wasn't his best game, but he didn't play bad. But to not even give him a fair shot, which you could disagree with, and that's fine.
No, I mean, there's a seven-minute stretch in the second quarter where Jaden Daniels, the last thing he does when he touches the ball is throws a touchdown pass to Terry, right? And then I guess the next thing he does is throws the two-point conversion, which there's a split second where that thing looks like it's going to hit. It's wide open. Then Quinyon Mitchell makes a great play, and that thing's dead as a doornail. But like after the two-point conversion, he doesn't touch the ball again until the 34-second drive where he takes them in less than 40 seconds for a field goal. You're not wrong. But Sean, here I'm up against a break. So I'll respond to what you said real quick, because I think you actually make a really astute point. I'm going to try to help you make sense of it. What you're used to watching is a bad football team where the opponent is way better. And in games like that, teams press. They can try not to, and Washington did an incredible job of not doing it the week before at Detroit, who is also a better football team in an equally hostile environment and the whole deal. And their offense was even more potent on paper, and it was like, it's all right, we got this, we don't have to press. But I think because of how good Philly's defense was, and how good their offense is, and because they knew it, because Washington has played this team before, there seemed to be a level of, I don't want to call it panic, but certainly unsettledness that results in these types of mistakes. And luckily, because Washington's good now, we're not going to see that nearly as often. And hopefully, because Jaden will be able to lead them and he has this experience, we might not see it again for a long, long, long time. But I think that feeling of like, oh, that team's just better and our team is doing dumb stuff, like that was familiar, but I don't actually think it's super unique to Washington. It's just that's what happens to bad football teams or teams that are overmatched, and Washington was definitely overmatched yesterday.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree, and let me just finish off with this real quick.
For
sure. The goal this season was but to find out if we got a franchise QB, and we answered that question. So that's the silver lining. But my hate for the Eagles and their fans transcends football. So this is going to sting for a while. Thanks, Craig. Have a good one.
Thanks, Sean. Great, great call. All right, when we get back, we got a couple folks on hold, and we got a couple phone lines open. So if you want to get in, you can at 301-230-0980. And we'll take more of your phone calls in the final half hour of the Hoffman Show next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear, we'll react to more of what Dan Quinn and Adam Peters had to say. Also, a ton of sound making the rounds from the locker room clean out. So we will talk about some of the conversations that we're having in the locker room today, players. And I just was listening to one. Scott Abraham posted a bunch of stuff. And Deami Brown, we asked him, he's like, hey, man, this could be your last time in this locker room. And what do you make of that? And Deami just goes, it's just gratitude, man. Like it is gratitude for all the guys in here. It's gratitude for the opportunity that I had this year. And it's a really cool thing to see a guy who had his journey feel that way. And obviously I'm certainly hoping that Deami's back. Not as the number two receiver, but like I think having a guy who, if you have Terry, the new number two receiver, and then a guy you can rely on to fill in and give you a chance at really good production, that's a guy worth having. So we'll have a lot of those discussions, the stay or go. We'll look at the free agent list. We'll do all that stuff over the weeks to come. But today's just a day to reflect on the game, on the season, and we're doing it with you on the phones at 301-230-0980. Let's go to Doug in Leesburg. Doug, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Appreciate you for taking my call, Craig. And also wanted to thank you for the incredible season that you've been covering.
Appreciate that.
I was listening to you on the from YouTube, and I've been liking that new segment that you have with Tony, the way too early picks. It bugged me at first because I was like, why can't y'all just wait just one more day? But I get the point of the show.
Yeah, it's a first impression selections. It can't be your first impression selections when they're not your first impressions, although it really does mess us up during the season because we literally have not seen Monday. We don't even have an impression of Monday Night Football, but maybe that's something to consider for a Tuesday show next season. We'll take that into consideration, Doug. We have a long time to think about it. What you got on this past season, though, and on yesterday's game?
Yeah, yesterday, I can't lie, I was pretty dejected because I really saw, I thought that game did not reflect well of how well the football season went, especially when it's against your division rival, to be on national TV like that, to be the most points given up in a championship game ever, too. It's a little disheartening. I just thought in general, the guys didn't give Jaden the best chance to win. He got it was 12-20. It was 12-14 when he had the ball, and then when he gets the ball next time it's 27-12. So it's hard to come back from that. And then I just saw another team that was well built for years on end, and you just clearly saw the less and well year one developed team. But I'm proud of, regardless of how the season went. In retrospect, if you told me in the preseason that we would watch the most historical, probably the best rookie QB season ever, I would definitely sign up for that and applaud that to the fullest. And I'm excited to see what AP does, and I'm excited to listen to the people that call in and complain about whatever AP decides to do throughout this offseason and whatever drives come about. But, amazing season to reflect. I'm raw right now, but I'll be better once hopefully the Chiefs just lay the smack down on the Eagles on Super Bowl night, so it's much more enjoyable. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it, Doug. One thing I definitely want to do, I'm curious. I feel like it's going to be very skewed Chiefs in this area because of the Eagles' hatred, but as we get closer to the Super Bowl, we're going to do picks, but also who are you rooting for? And I think the Eagles are going to be like America's team in this game. And I realize the Eagles are not likable, but Saquon might be the most likable guy on both rosters in terms of story arc and all these other kinds of things. And the Chiefs are plenty hateable as well. So we'll have to get to that. But you had a couple of folks today unprompted, just, man, screw the Eagles. And trust me, I get that too. I think what's kind of funny is if I had done a poll before the season and said, you can have 8 wins, but you know Jaden's the guy. Or you can have 12 wins and there's questions. Like somehow this defense is way, way, way better than you thought. Maybe he suffered an injury in the middle of the year and you win some games without him, and Marcus plays really well or whatever, and just for whatever reason you get to that 8-win point, but you know, or somehow you get to the 12-win point without him playing great ball. Maybe the running game was like otherworldly, whatever the formula is. Don't think too much into this hypothetical. It didn't happen, but you could have chosen 12 wins or knowing about Jaden. 98% of y'all would have picked knowing about Jaden, and what's dope is you got both. You got 12 wins, 14 counting the playoffs. You got a quarterback that looks like not just, oh, he's the answer, but he's a top 5 quarterback right now. He's the best quarterback in the conference right now. And for reasons that are wholly sustainable. And he's only going to get better. And now it's up to Adam Peters to build around him. And I'm glad Doug phrased that the way that he did, where he didn't think the team around Jaden gave Jaden a chance to win. And that's what it felt like. It felt like the team, and I don't mean this like emotionally, just like functionally, the team let him down. Where it's like, hey man, quarterback's holding up his end of the bargain. Oh, guy fumbled. Oh, defense gave this up. Oh, special teams gave this up. And it's really kind of bizarre to lose a game in that fashion where your quarterback plays well. Because typically the quarterback can control so much. But not yesterday. Not the way that game went down. And Logan and I talked about this on Take Command that I did two shows, an instant reaction last night, like a super instant reaction. And then Logan and I did kind of a recap this morning. And as we shifted and started talking a little bit about the offseason, we know that the quarterback is elite. It is now Adam Peters' job to surround him with people that are up to his level in as many positions as possible. He will make a lot of things right. But what happens if he doesn't have to? What happens if there's a game where he is off and the offensive line can carry him because they can go run the ball for 200 yards, where a running back or a wide receiver can bail him out, where the defense can just carry them for an entire 60 minutes? Because the defense had a lot of great 50 minutes this year, a lot of great 45 minutes, a lot of great 35 minutes. I don't know that they put together a full 60 at any point. What happens when they can? That's when you become the Chiefs. That's when you become the Ravens, the Bills, the Eagles. And that's what this team aspires to be, is that level of consistent greatness. And they have the centerpiece. They have the hardest part of that to get. Now that they have that, can they do the other stuff around him? And that is the question of the next month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, throughout re-signing their own guys, evaluating prospects, signing free agents, and then ultimately the draft. And we're going to be talking about it right here on your home for more Commanders talk than anyone in Washington, the team 980. When we get back, we'll wrap things up with real things real people said into real microphones and some final thoughts on the 2024-25 season. All right, we're wrapping up here on the Hoffman Show. Terps Talk is next, and then that will give way ultimately to Wizards and Mavs here on the team 980. Tomorrow, we'll have Mitch Tischler one final time for the Commanders season. We'll see what else we line up on the guest front. I'm going to try to get Fortier to pop down here this week and do an extended session with him. See what he's up to. He doesn't know that yet. I don't know why I just said that out loud on the radio. That's a thought I had in my head and then just said out loud. Sometimes it'd be like that. Anyway, we'll get to that or cross that bridge when it comes. But plenty of good stuff floating around. All the reporters who did a great job today out at Locker Cleanout. We, of course, had the press conference live at 5 o'clock. If you missed it, you can check it out in the podcast feed. Anthony is working hard on that. My guy's going to be out tomorrow. He is battling right now. I'm not even sure if he's still alive in the other studio. I'm saying that half. Okay, he did turn his head. Okay, and I'm not putting you on camera. You're good. Yeah, you don't have to pretend to be alive. You can play dead over there because I know how you feel right now. It's not very good, and you shouldn't be at work right now. But you discovered that too late in the day, and so we'll see who's sitting over in Anthony's highly sanitized workspace tomorrow. Because it's not going to be that guy. All right. When we end the show, it's Real Things, Real People Said in Real Microphones. And I guess we can go ahead and hit that. We got a couple of things that we'll play from that press conference, as well as where we'll start with Zach Ertz confirming whether or not he's going to be playing any more football.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Okay, okay. Zach Ertz speaking in the locker room. This courtesy, I believe, of NBC4 and JP Finley. Today asked straight up, because Zach was very reflective after the game last night. It kind of sounded like a guy where, hey, things are coming near the end. We know that they're coming near the end, but like the immediate end. So Zach today clarifying that.
I think just being able to be here with the group of guys, the people, the quarterback, Cliff, DQ, has just really allowed me to enjoy it every single day. A lot of times when you're in a tough spot, the weight of just everything is heavy. And so this year I just felt free to just go out there and just being able to be myself every day. People that built me up in a way that they believed in me, they had confidence in me to go do what I do. And obviously playing with Jaden was extremely fun. You know, it was a 1 year so far. I feel like we're just scratching the surface as a quarterback and tight end combination. I don't know what the future holds. I still want to play football next year. So that is, I just want to make that clear that I'm not retiring. Just because I had so much fun this year. I feel rejuvenated. I feel young. This is the most amount of games I played in the season at 34. And I felt like I played good football this year. So for me, it's just figuring out everything going forward, and they know how I feel about this place. So, yeah.
Sounds like a guy that I think is going to be back. I think they're going to want him here. I think he's going to want to be here. And he was one of the first guys to sign here. In fact, he was the first guy to sign here. Because he was not attached to a team last season when the season ended. After he got his release from Arizona, I think he was on Detroit's practice squad for the playoffs. And then ultimately, he is able to sign. And he said, like, I want to be with Cliff. And then now you hear what he's saying about Jaden. And I think they're going to want Zach Ertz back. And the way he played, why wouldn't you? And I remember talking to Zach with Logan. He came on Take Command right before the season. And he said part of the reason he felt really good about this year was he went into last offseason healthy. And he was able to work out in the offseason in a way that he hadn't in years because he had always been rehabbing something. And the fact that Zach not only got through this year very healthy, he did have the concussion, which is obviously scary because he's had quite a few. But outside of that, there's no joint injuries, there's no anything that other than that wear and tear of an NFL season. And he's going to the offseason healthy again. And that's the kind of thing that would make me go, yeah, I'm intrigued about bringing Zach Ertz back for another season in burgundy and gold. And you might think, well, they don't need all these leaders and all these older guys because their young guys are stepping up, whatever. No. Dan Quinn made it pretty clear today that there's not going to be some extreme youth movement on the roster because what these guys, these leaders bring is far too valuable.
Some things don't show up on the stat sheet. They just don't. And people like Adam see that and understand that. It may not come in a metric or next-gen stat, but it shows up in a big way. And you've heard me use the word glue guys or great teammates, and all of those things can factor into what you know you're looking for to build as a team. So everything matters. And for teammates like that that have a different role, all of them have an impact on winning, but their roles may be different. And so it'll always be a part of our equation. Adam, I believe in team first, and you've heard me say, like, the best part of our team is the team. And that's like a really cool thing to say as a coach, because it's not this group or that group or this one, like collectively the way they work together, like, it's a really cool thing.
It is something we will go into in a lot more depth over the next couple of weeks, because getting some of these guys re-signed is something they can do now. You can re-sign your own guys pretty much whenever. A lot of that stuff tends to go down around the combine. As you know, teams kind of take a second. They got a lot of stuff to work on. They got to figure out the cap sheet, and so they're not going to do anything imminently unless Zach Ertz was like, "Hey, guys, I want to give you the most friendly thing possible. I know how well I just played. I know I'm worth a couple million dollars, but I want to sign a veteran minimum." They'd be like, "Sick. Here's the paper." But outside of that, like, they're not gonna get anything done too imminently, I would imagine. I think there's a couple of other things to watch, obviously, on the restructure front with a guy like Daron Payne. Do they give Terry McLaurin an extension? What do they do with John Allen? Like, those are some of the moves that are going to happen sooner rather than, you know, NFL free agency. But there's plenty to do because they signed so many guys to one-year deals. And Ertz and Wagner are two guys that I think they signed to a one-year deal and they'd probably bring back. I don't know about on a multi-year deal, but like I would sign Bobby to like a 1+ team option. Like, I want that. I give him a little extra cash to make sure he's back the way he played. And I know some people got real mad at him for weird reasons yesterday. That first run, he didn't. Yeah, Brady circled him on the screen, and then you watched him trip over Dante Fowler doing a stupid spin move instead of setting the edge like he was supposed to. It wasn't Bobby's fault, but dude was a second team All-Pro this year. Like, bring Bobby back, to say the least. All right. That's our show for today. Appreciate everybody listening, calling in. This was a pretty magical show on a sad, bitter end day, but ultimately a great day to celebrate a great team that gave us so much this season. We'll talk about it even more tomorrow on a Vibe Check Tuesday. Till then, enjoy Terps Talk. Enjoy the Wizards game. We'll see you tomorrow here on The Hoffman Show.